Geraldine, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Johnny. How are you?
Boy, you sure are up and at 'em. The early bird catches many worms.
I was going to say your fog advisory is pretty important for people today. I've been on the road since about 6 o'clock, and fog was pretty heavy all around Lansing. But, yeah, make sure they're taking their time and being careful.
Where are you off to today?
We're headed down. I'm going to head down. The governor's going to be down in Detroit today. We're going to stop in to – he's going to keep talking and talking with people and making sure they have all the information as far as what we're looking at in terms of the city of Detroit. So he just wants to make sure that he's talking to as many people as he can and really explain in the details and really see where we can go from there.
Well, I know that the governor as well as the lieutenant governor have been having these conversations all around the state. Lieutenant Governor Callie had a round table with the media. You know, we've been talking with a lot of people, Geraldine. Yesterday we talked with a state representative from the Detroit area, and the word down there is that the governor's office is trying to take over Detroit so it could sell off its assets to pay its bills, and then once they do have everything in order, there won't be anything left to run a city with. How would you respond to that?
Oh, my goodness. That is absolutely, could not be farther from the truth. That is just, there's no truth whatsoever to those wild claims. You know, and that's what's been really, really difficult, frustrating through this process is there's been so much misinformation out there. So I really appreciate the chance to talk with you this morning because there have been a lot of just made up pieces that people are trying to really present as facts, unfortunately. But no, you'll see in the proposed consent agreement, I mean, this is I don't think it's a surprise to anybody, really, the financial troubles that the city has been in. And this is not something that just happened overnight. This is something that has really been decades in the making. As Detroit has lost population, certainly they had a much more difficult time with revenues just because they were losing so many people and losing population. So they didn't, at the same time that they were losing population, they didn't really reduce their services or their really make cost-effective types of measures to compensate for that loss of population. So what we have today is a situation that the city has told us that they will run out of cash at some point this spring. So the governor wants the state to be a supportive partner to work with the city to make sure that the city can stay in control of their own city, that those jewels and those assets of the city remain, but that we can help from a financial advisory perspective to really put them on a much better, sound financial path.
Do you think the governor would support selling off the assets like Belle Isle and the Department of Water and other assets like that for Detroit? Is that on the table?
Well, I think the Belle Isle proposal that we've been looking at and talking with, I think, is a pretty innovative one. The city would remain, they would own Belle Isle as they do today, but the governor challenged kind of his state departments and cabinet members and said, what are some creative ideas where we can really assist the city? And, you know, we have outstanding professionals in the Department of Natural Resources who manage state parks, and they do that every day in and day out, and they do it extremely well. So we were talking about how could we better take the talent and the resources that we have from the Department of Natural Resources, kind of combine that with perhaps in a long-term lease situation with the city for Belle Isle, so they could, you know, really do some innovative things to help run the Belle Isle, maintain Belle Isle, make some improvements there, so it can really again be that gem for families to really enjoy and to go to. So again, partnership types of situations, but the city would remain owners of Belle Isle.
Yesterday, on this program, State Representative David Nathan said that the state is reneging on its obligation to make sure that Detroit gets the funding it was promised. So how would you respond to that?
I think that, you know, certainly the funding for the city of Detroit, you know, that has been consistent over the years. There was a situation that took place long before Governor Snyder was ever in office, an agreement that was made between Governor Engler and Mayor Archer, and then that agreement was changed under the Granholm administration. You know, as we look at it in terms of the money that is the dollars for revenue sharing, for instance, all of those funding, all of those funding streams, they have been going to the city. It's no surprise to anybody the fact that last year Michigan faced $1.5 billion deficit. So there were some reductions statewide in revenue sharing. Certainly we saw that in all areas of the state. But this year we've actually been able to increase revenue sharing dollars. And certainly the lion's share of much of that does go to the city of Detroit. We've also, the legislature and the governor have worked quite cooperatively. You know, as a result of the last census, the city of Detroit went below the 750,000 population threshold. So they should have, there should have been some dollar amounts that would have been reduced because of that decline in population. The legislature went in and changed statute to make sure that Detroit was continuing to receive that money, even though they no longer met the population requirement to get those dollars. So I think there have been a lot of steps that have been taken because people know, and people across the state know, that the success of Michigan really is so connected to the success of Detroit. We can't be a great state without our great city.
We've got two more questions for Geraldine Lasher, who's with the governor's office. If a bill passed the House and the Senate to make Michigan a right-to-work state, would the governor sign it? We know he hasn't been pushing this agenda from his administration platform, but if this got on his desk, would he sign it?
He has said consistently he does not want it on his desk. He does not want the legislature to really get kind of divided into such a divisive issue, and he has said that on both sides of the issue, that, you know, the whether you are supportive of right to work or strongly against right to work, you know, when you're focused on that discussion and that discussion only, then you're not able to move forward on all of the other positive things that we can do cooperatively. So he has said pretty clearly that he does not want it on his desk. He thinks it's an incredibly divisive issue. He looks to, for instance, what's happening in Indiana. He says, you know, from a business perspective, companies are going to look to Indiana now and say, you know, this is going to be turmoil for some time for them. So why would we want to really get involved in a situation that's still going to be incredibly contentious?
So
we had great success with collective bargaining at the state level. We want to continue that.
So if he doesn't want it on his desk, but if it ends up on his desk, would he sign it?
He doesn't want it on his desk. He does not want it there.
All right. Geraldine, we appreciate you greatly. We always learn a lot when we talk with you. You drive safely. Have a great weekend. We'll talk with you soon.
Thanks so much, Tony, and go green.